Welcome to the Knit More Girls podcast, a multi-generational knitting production. This is episode 648 and is sponsored by Erin Lane Bags, Infinite Twist, Knit Companion, Lisa Souza Dye Works, Oink Pigments, and The Sandpiper. This week's segments include On the Needles,
In Stitches,
Events,
Mother Knows Best,
When Knitting Attacks, Knits in Space,
and so on. Grab your knitting, pull up a chair, and start your row.
Welcome, welcome. If this is your first time listening to the podcast, welcome to the show. And if you are a returning listener, thank you very much for coming back. My name is Jasmine, and my pronouns are she, her, and hers.
My name is Gigi, and my pronouns are she, her, and hers.
How's it going this week, Mom?
Good. How are you?
Amazing.
Yes.
Ready to talk about some knitting.
Excellent.
Ready to talk about some adventuring and ready to start the podcast.
Let's go.
Mother dearest.
Lovey.
What do you have on the needles this week?
So I am working on autopilot socks for you. These are the online yarn that you got from Black Squirrel in Berkeley for me.
Mm-hmm.
And it is black and has yellow accents,
mm-hmm.
which is exactly your color.
It's my signature color.
Yes. And the foot is done. And I need to start on the toe decreases. And this is my knitting at Jasmine's house.
Okay, I was going to ask if that was your travel knitting, but I guess
it
not.
It also was my travel knitting.
Okay, that's good to know. Did you get much travel knitting done?
I knitted the foot. Not much.
Okay.
But a little bit. A
lot of adventuring was happening.
Yes. What are you working on?
Well, I'm going to talk about what I finished first, because this is another week where I finished two sweaters.
I'm sorry. Stash Dash is over.
I know. And I won by a lot. But, you know, that doesn't stop me from keeping my A game for perpetually. Anyway, I finished the sleeves on my Rhinebeck sweater. So all the knitting is finished. And this is the Bare Branches cardigan by Alana Dacos that I knit in Little Skein in the Big Wool's Targi sweater in the Cider Donuts colorway, which was my big reveal,
mm-hmm.
which I'll talk about in a second. So I finished knitting the sleeves when I finished the first sleeve before I left, and I finished the second sleeve yesterday. And it had like 10 rows left to go. And it just was one of those things that didn't get finished because I fell asleep on the plane. Turns out, really good at sleeping on planes. It's a skill set that I didn't know I had, but it's good to know. So anyway, I finished that yesterday, which was really exciting. So I'm going to block the sleeves today because I blocked the body already so I could wear the body blocked at Rhinebeck and work on the embroidery while... So if you want to embroider on your knits, you need to block the sweater first so that everything will lay nicely. And let me jump. Do you mind if I jump to that?
Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. I'm very excited.
That way I don't need to worry and
that I'm going to forget.
About interrupting you. I'm thinking, but you forgot.
But I forgot. Okay, so let me talk about my embroidery project. I was being kind of cagey about it in the last episode because that was my big reveal, is my Bare Branches cardigan by Alana Dacos. I used silk embroidery floss from Little Skein in the Big Wool that Anne dyed in the coordinating colors for her fall collection, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically all the color of fall leaves. All the colors of fall leaves, pardon me. And I looked at that and I said, you know, I've wanted to embroider leaves. Or we were talking about it and I said, I've wanted to embroider leaves on this. And she was like, I have silk embroidery thread. And so a genius idea was born. So once the body was finished and the hood was finished, I blocked those. I got the Pellon 541 dissolvable stabilizer.
Yes.
From my local Joann's. Twice, and because I couldn't find it, and then Andrew was literally on his way home with it when the stuff I had previously bought turned up.
Oh.
And I got a 12-inch hoop to work in so that I had the entire tree in my workspace.
And good choice.
Thank you. I thought this through a lot.
Because you wouldn't want your embroidery to get mashed by moving a smaller hoop.
Exactly. But I also wanted to be able to have, I mean, I didn't think of that part, but yay me for not smashing my embroidery with a smaller hoop, but more so I was thinking about looking at it as a big picture as opposed to little bits of a big picture. So because of the nature of this particular dissolvable interfacing, or I'm sorry, stabilizer, not mm-hmm. interfacing, you can see through it. So I could see where I was on the tree and add leaves where I wanted to. So I started and I worked through the colors. And I started with the darkest green, and then I worked up to the next green, and then I added the orange and the red. I think I did the red first. But each color was a different shape of embroidered leaf stitch.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really fun and freeing to work on a project like that because I kind of put leaves where I felt like putting leaves, and then I would change the color mm-hmm. when I felt like I had enough of that color. And then I would pepper in the next layer of leaves.
Do we need to put a content warning in here?
Warning?
Yes.
The following content contains compelling and enabling content.
Okay.
Listener discretion is advised.
Yes.
Okay, so I'm working on this, and this was a project that took... I only worked on it during the day, obviously, even though I have my Ott lamp. Your eyes get tired when you look at a thing. And it felt more like painting than anything else I have done in ages. Because, and painting, yes, but also like impressionism. Because you're thinking in lines and dots and in some cases, triangles or, you know. And I know triangles aren't strictly impressionist, but... just painting in the little leaves as I went was so stinking satisfying. And it has way more leaves than I thought originally I was going to put on it. But as I was working, I was like, nope, we need another one here. And we need one here.
More potato chippy than a giant bag of potato chips, huh?
For sure. This was more compelling than a bag of potato chips and Cheetos combined. Like all of the things and popcorn, but not mixed together. Imagine all the flavors go together and you get all the good textures and all the good flavors. So anyway, so I'm working on this and it ended up being, I ended up working on it on the flight out because it wasn't quite finished and I had it could have been finished, but it wasn't emotionally finished. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So I was like, you know, I'm just gonna add a few more leaves and then it'll be done. And I remember sitting on the plane and finishing off the last couple of leaves. And I was like, that's it. It's finished. And then the next step that I did was I took off the hoop. I trimmed off the stabilizer. And a friend of mine held the phone and did a recording while I dissolved the stabilizer. And I took a tiny little corner of it and held it under the water. Mm-hmm. And just went, poof, like it turned into nothing. And that was really encouraging.
It didn't get gooey and nasty?
No.
Ha.
Like, it just disappeared. So Genevieve has tasked me with finding out what it's made out of, because she doesn't understand how a thing can just dissolve and disappear and not be made out of cotton candy. we'll get to that. But anyway, so it was really satisfying to trim it off and get to... And I used a sponge to dissolve it, because I didn't want to soak the whole sweater, because I was intending to wear it the next day. And I didn't want it, because it's worsted. And it was cold and humid where we were. So it would take its sweet time to dry. So I minimized the amount of drying time by focusing on only the area that needed to get soaked.
Mm-hmm.
And I put it, it was hanging in a doorway drying so that it would get airflow under it.
Right.
And a friend of mine blow dried it a little bit because they were super thoughtful and noticed that it was still rather damp. And every time I walked past it, I was like, this is so beautiful.
It is.
I'm really pleased with it. Genevieve wants one on a brown background with black and silver leaves, like a tree at nighttime, but not as many leaves, she said. So she picked her silk embroidery floss. And I will post a link to the place I got mine. because I ordered a couple of colors. I don't know how many colors Anne is dyeing outside her normal range, but mm-hmm. I found a source on Etsy, and I will post a link to that as along with everything else we talk about in this week's episode in the show notes. So I'm so pleased with how it turned out. It feels like an utterly Rhinebeck sweater, and I wore it to Rhinebeck on the Saturday to the meeting on the hill, and it was really too warm for sleeves, so I'm glad I hadn't finished the sleeves and applied them at that point, because I wouldn't have been able to manage.
Somebody asked me about the big armholes, and as you were wearing it, the armholes got bigger because the sleeves weren't in yet.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Yeah, so.
They'll be fine.
That was interesting. It'll be fine once you sew in the sleeves.
Exactly. And they're ready to go. As I just have to block them, and then I'll have another finished sweater, and I'll post some real finished object photos as opposed to my semi-finished Saturday ones from Rhinebeck.
I kind of got excited to be doing embroidery again.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't done embroidery since class, but not for real in ages.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, good. I'm glad you're excited. What else are you working on?
I am working on another Musselboro hat mm-hmm. by Isolde Teig out of Oink Pigments in the Halloween colorway. This is the way. And you claimed it.
I did, because they are my favorite colors.
Yes. So that, and that's coming along slowly. It's kind of TV watching knitting
mm-hmm.
because all I have to do is go round and round.
Until
I'm down to the last 10 grams, and then I do the other end.
I honestly think it's like the perfect pattern for that one skein of special festival yarn, because it's a one skein project. They wear beautifully. It's every gauge, basically. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. It just, that's the thing I was thinking about this weekend when we were at Rhinebeck. So there is that. Do you have more you want to talk about? I have a couple more things.
Yes. I frogged the second sleeve of the Rocky Road, not the Rocky Road, the Rocky Coast cardigan. I guess I need some ice cream.
I was going to say, you've got ice cream on the brain.
Yes. And I looked through my paper pattern, and I'm making a grouchy face.
Mm-hmm.
All the notes I had on the pattern were... All I had was I highlighted the numbers that I needed to do. So I had three different sizes of circulars in my bag, but no note as to which one to use.
Oops.
Yeah. So I ripped the sleeve and picked up the stitches, and I think I did 2 or 3 repeats last night.
Cool.
So.
That's progress.
Yeah.
Well.
What are you working on?
I mentioned I finished my Bare Branches cardigan, and I thought I should finish something else. So I finished the test knit that I got the dates wrong on for Einar Burkambayeva, who I got to meet at Rhinebeck, who is even lovelier in person and definitely a kindred spirit. And so I finished the knitting on that. I need to block it and do the two seams for the sides. And then bada bing, bada boom, project photos. That's done. And yeah, so that was the other thing I finished this week. It's been a very productive week home. Do you have more? I have one more thing.
You have one more thing and I'm done.
Okay. As soon as I finished the knitting on my Pyramus top, I got the correct pronunciation. I swatched for another test knit that I'm a little behind on, but not late yet. And this is the Rainbowgan by Rainbow Gan, like Rainbow Cardigan, by Sophia, who is the drunk knitter. And I'm knitting this in... Okay, Nicole Frost did a Lisa Frank box thing, where it was a bunch of Lisa Frank-themed things.
Who's Lisa Frank?
She did all the fun stuff in the late 80s, early 90s that was like neon and unicorns and all that fun stuff. that is making a resurgence because all the people who loved Lisa Frank are old enough to buy Lisa Frank stuff now. If our parents didn't, and we're old enough to buy it for ourselves, even if our parents did. So she did, I think, a 12-color gradient. It's either 12 or 14, but my brain thinks it's 12 right now. And I'm using the gradient for the yolk, and I'm using two strands of Lisa Sousa's superwash that I did Genevieve's Anna cardigan out of as the contrast color, or the main color, I suppose, held together to match the gauge for the pattern, for the solid color bits, because Genevieve thought the coral I picked was soulless, and after she pointed out that the electric blue would be better, I couldn't see anything but soulless in the other color that I picked, which happened to be a commercial yarn. So I started that, and I am into the yoke, and I'm really enjoying it because Nicole's yarn is a treat for the eyes. And it's a delight to knit anyway. And for this, I think this is the best project. Because the whole thing is Nicole's yarns are beautiful. And you buy them and then you're like, okay, I have to find just the right pattern for this. And that's kind of been my hiccup as I go. So some of it sits in my stash a little longer than I would like. But on the flip side of that, when I find something that's just right for it, it is a match like peanut butter and jelly. It is like marzipan and my mother. It is like me and wool.
Okay.
It is a match that is destined to be together forever.
Okay.
So I'm really enjoying this. I'm enjoying that I can wind up the little skeins as I go, because they're not little, but, you know, it's enough that I can see the progress as I go. And I decided not to wind them all into one big giant skein because I didn't feel like doing that last night. And Genevieve, I didn't feel like asking her to do that last night either. So, but I'm happier to ask her to wind things one tiny skein at a time. And I think she likes that better too. So anyway, I am digging this test knit. It is really fun. I have to tell her when she gets home from school that she was 1,000,000% right about the blue. Because I kept going back and forth about it. And then I looked at the blue next to the coral color I picked, which is a perfectly fine color by itself, sort of. But when you look at it next to the Anna blue from Lisa Sousa, it is dull and lifeless.
Not as lively.
No, and it doesn't look as nice. And I never would have picked electric blue to go with this. But Genevieve was digging through colors and said, this is the one. So should you need someone to match unusual colors for you, you know, Genevieve is the one. Mm-hmm. Her talents are many and her years are few. So anyway. Is that it?
Yep.
Let's move on to the next segment. But first, a word from our sponsors. Are you bummed that you missed Rhinebeck? So are we. Lisa Sousa Dyeworks specializes in dyeing mill-spun yarns and fabulously decadent luxury hand-spun yarns for discerning collectors. Soothe your Rhinebeck FOMO with some delicious decadence at lisaknit.com. You can find links to everything we talk about in this week's episode, along with Lisa Sousa Dyeworks, in the show notes. Mother dearest,
lovey,
what has had you in stitches this week?
So again, I snuggled under the Halloween quilt. My big calking quilt is in the wash.
Mm-hmm.
I wore my favorite flannel shirt that I sewed in
clothing construction.
Yes, and I started wearing hand knit socks. I also huddled under my pointed furs shawl. And I wore the Carly cardigan from Coco Knits. And putting a zipper in this was such a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's my go-to cardigan.
Mm-hmm. And I love the zipper in mine.
Yeah.
Because the open cardigan thing, I like it for a while and then I find myself clutching it closed. And I think someone will correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that trend is kind of over. The open front cardigan?
With a shawl pin holding it together?
Like at the neck, yeah.
Yeah. So with a zipper, it gives new life and mm-hmm. new wear to these garments. And there is another one sitting on my pile of sewing to do
mm-hmm.
that also is demanding a zipper.
You know I have a zipper to sew into my Monsters, Inc. hoodie, right?
Which one is the Monsters, Inc. hoodie?
The one with the stripy sleeves and the hood that I need to add horns to.
Right.
So why don't you bring it over and do it while I'm doing that? It's not hard.
That's an excellent idea.
It's the setup that's tedious-ish. Tedious adjacent.
Okay.
So we can do it together. It'll be super fun.
Okay. That sounds like it'll be fun. We'll have some laughs.
Yeah. Have a few laughs. Is that from Die Hard?
It is.
Okay. Just making sure for those of us who missed the reference.
And what are you working on?
I wore my Burberry cardigan and my Hamelknit hat. Those tend to be worn together. And I wore my fuzzy beanie with the giant orange pom-pom. I wore my Theano to Rhinebeck on Sunday. And I wore my Bare Branches cardigan. And I have to say, having a hood when you're somewhere where it's kind of iffy weather-wise is wonderful, because then you can pull it up and it keeps your ears warm or your neck warm, depending on how you drape it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just the best. The kids both had colds this week. I came home to two sick kids, and fortunately it wasn't COVID, but we all went and got COVID tests as a family. Hooray! Isn't it fun to do things together as a family? Our rapid tests came up negative because we waited in the parking lot for a few minutes. And then we went to Jamba Juice, and Andrew got us all Jamba Juices for our poor sore throats. And
runny noses.
Runny noses and all those things. And Genevieve layered, I'm not kidding you, four sweaters on top of each other.
She was cold.
The house was 72. She was cold. She was feeling yucky. She didn't have a fever, but she was feeling yucky. So she layered, and this is not in any order specifically. It's just that she listed them. Her Anna cardigan, she was wearing her Gryffindor hat inside. She was wearing her Pantastic hoodie and her Hearthstone cardigan, the Hearthstone pullover, and the Coronation cardigan. So it was four sweaters, one, two, three, four, piled, stacked, layered over one another. Lest you think I keep my house a frozen wasteland. It was 72 degrees in our house. And then she was curled up under a blanket next to me in the throne, snuggling, which I will never complain about. But it was...
She wasn't feeling good.
She wasn't feeling good. And at one point, I realized that both kids are old enough to get, you know, real medicine now, which is really exciting. It's an exciting time in a parent's life when you can actually make your kids feel better by giving them medicine. So we got them, you know, medicine from the store. And all of a sudden, everyone felt better. And they were perked up and sparkly and not so leaky and sneezy and coughy and all of the other seven dwarves of the common cold.
Yeah.
So anyway, so she wore all of her knit hat, all of her knits. And Rex has been wearing his Lionheart hoodie almost every day. Today he inherited some stuff from one of his older idols, one of the kids he idolizes at school, and so he's been wearing stuff from his friend since then. And that's like your mother knows best. That's not a mother knows best. If you have a young child who is warm clothing averse, have them get hand-me-downs from somebody
that
who they
really
love.
Like. Yeah.
And they'll wear it. I remember he got stuff during the summertime that it was like a sweatshirt, and he refused to stop wearing it. So that's my secret for that. I don't think Andrew's been wearing anything yet, but should he wear something, I will report back in next week's episode. Is that it for us?
Yep.
Let's move on to the next segment. And now a quick word from our sponsors. Carry your creativity with Erin Lane bags. Whether you show your fiber fandom with the Woolly Wonder Sheepleverse or dive into history with the Curiosities Collection, our project bags, totes, and hook and needle organizers are at the ready to keep your hobby happy. You can find links to Erin Lane along with everything else we talk about in this week's episode in the show notes. Events. So let's talk about where we were, what we did there, and where we're going.
Excellent.
Sound good?
Excellent.
All right. Why don't you start, Mom, and then I will fill in some gaps.
We went to Rhinebeck. Yay!
And it was your first time.
Was my first time, yes.
What did you think?
Was amazing.
That's it? Just was amazing. That's all. You know, NBD.
We peopled a lot.
We did people quite a lot. that was the best part of it for me, is getting to meet. I mean, that's always the best part, right? Every event we go to, it's because I'm not going to say, oh, you know, it's yarn, whatever. Like the yarn. No, the yarn is really exciting, too. Don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. The yarn, the wool, the food, it's all very exciting. But really, the best part?
The company.
Yeah, the people, right?
Yes.
So that was terrific. We landed on, we took a red eye out of San Jose on Thursday night, landed in Manhattan, in JFK at 6:30 in the morning. And then we picked up the rental car and we drove to the house that we rented with some friends in Saugerties, which was about a 2-hour drive.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, we did all of the morning stuff we didn't get a chance to do, but it was closer to like lunchtime,
mm-hmm.
East Coast time. And so we showered and got dressed and put our faces on and did all of those things that you can't do when you're on a plane, and headed over to Indie Untangled. Would you like to start by talking about Indie Untangled?
It was very cozy. And I accosted somebody who was wearing a cardigan that I have to knit.
Mm-hmm.
And
that you already have the pattern for and yarn for from a previous stitch, as it turns out.
Oops, excellent.
That just means you really like it and you really want to make it.
Well, the thing is, I really want a summer cardigan.
Mm-hmm.
And I knitted one out of white wool.
Mm-hmm.
So the color is good. But what possessed me to think that wool was a good choice for a summer little cardigan? I wonder at how...
The mind boggles.
Yeah, the mind boggles.
Sometimes we are in our fantasies different than we are in reality. I was talking to someone about how I see myself as tall as Nicole Kidman and willowy in my imagination, when really I'm built more like Marilyn Monroe, short and curvy.
I think of myself as tall and statuesque.
Ah.
Think Sophia Loren.
Pitter-pat. Lovely.
Yeah.
Okay. So you saw the cardigan and you're going to make that one.
And in reality,
mm-hmm.
I'm petite.
Yeah. Which is fine. We just have big personalities. I had two people tell me they thought I would be taller, which was very flattering. That's my favorite thing to hear. So if you want to just make me feel good, you can tell me, oh my goodness, you're so much shorter in person than I thought you would be. That's okay with me. So we got there. And mom got the royal treatment from when we arrived, which was really encouraging because it was really spread out. And I don't know what I was expecting. I'm glad it was spread out. They had us log our vaccination information before the event. I logged yours. That's why you don't remember doing it. Mom also travels with, she gets the royal treatment.
I think I refer to you as my entourage.
I am your entourage. I plan it.
I love you.
You're welcome. I love you too. So mom just gets to show up and have fun, and I do all the worrying and the planning. But there was a golf cart that they were using for people with mobility issues to get them between the two parts of the venue, which was absolutely lovely and really helpful because they were rather spread apart. And mom is still in the... her robot brace. Splint, yeah, her robot brace, and walking with a cane, which is challenging when you have a lot. And there was a lot of walking this weekend. So we got, the instant she got out of the car, she was being coddled and loved upon.
Yes.
By her fan base, and also just people being kind in general, which was really lovely.
It was lovely.
Yeah. And then she got shuttled across to the other side, because there were apparently two parts to the thing. And to the Indie Untangled thing. And we saw some vendors and we got to meet some listeners. And it was just, and we just ended up chatting. I mean, it's every festival and every single thing, right? Where you end up, you know, you talk, you do a little shopping.
We met people.
We did get to meet people, which was wonderful. And we got to meet people who've been listening for years and years, but don't make it out to West Coast festivals.
I met somebody I've been listening to for a long time.
That's right. You met Mary Kinonitz.
Yes.
Yes.
That was charming.
Right? And it was just lovely. My one gripe about Indie Untangled is that the food trucks closed before the event was fully closed. And here is my organizational suggestion. Because knitters are not going to spend our time eating, necessarily.
When there's yarn to look at.
When there's yarn to look at. I really feel like closing it a half an hour after the rest of the event closed would have been more prudent. Because, first of all, I was starving to death when it was done. And I was really disappointed that I didn't get any cookies. It's really that I was disappointed about not getting cookies. I would like the entire event.
We were all hungry.
Correct. Because we landed. We had, like, what would have been breakfast our time, because we ate it around 11-ish, I think. Mm-hmm. And the whole time difference thing just has thrown me for several loops as we go. And so we were packing up to leave the fairgrounds. And we all got shuttled because we were traveling with Her Majesty, my mother, as her entourage, of course. And they were nice enough not to just leave us behind and be like, you're on your own, slowpokes. They were lovely to our whole posse. And so they dropped us off at the car, and I pulled up an app called Around Me. And Around Me is an app I learned about from another knitter on the Max at Sock Summit in 2009. Now, we're going to
Max?
The Max, which is like their public transit train thing.
Mm-hmm.
And lovely and efficient. And we were on that, and another knitter from Sock Summit had said, oh, if you don't know the area, just use the Around Me app. And wouldn't you know it, all these years later, it is still my go-to thing for finding a thing in a place where I don't know where I am.
I use it occasionally.
Right? Yeah. It's really useful. We'll link to it in the show notes along with everything else. So I pulled up restaurants in Around Me, and I sorted the, obviously, they sort by distance, and I pulled up the website on the first thing that didn't sound like a burger place. Does that make sense? Like,
yeah.
I didn't want a hamburger. I wanted something really good. And it's the Dutch Ale House that came up, and it was like a mile and a half away. And I think it was called the Dutch something. It might have been a brew house. We'll link to that as well.
Was dinner.
Yes. Because we had dinner afterwards.
The breakfast, you're not talking about.
Not talking about breakfast. I'm talking about after India Untangled. See, I'm telling you, the time change messes with all of us.
Yeah.
So we drove to the Dutch, and the menu on their website, first of all, will make you drool just reading the menu. So I was like, oh, absolutely, yes. So they had, their hours were different that day because they were hosting a
Oktoberfest.
Thank you. I'm short on nouns, which is inconvenient when you co-host and produce a podcast. So
that's why I'm the talent, darling.
Thank the stars for you, Mom, every single day. So we get there and they're like, oh, we don't open actually until 5:30. It's like 4:45.
Because they had to set up for Oktoberfest.
So we're like, all right, we'll see you back in just a little bit. So we're outside standing, and I said, I really want pie. And this woman who didn't know me from Adam,
who was sitting on a bench.
Just sitting on the bench outside the restaurant. And this is a local. She was hanging out with her dog. She said, oh, you should try the bakery across the street, which I don't remember the name of, but we'll link to in the show notes. And first of all, you walked into this bakery and it smelled like falling in love with carbohydrates and sugar and other good things.
Yes.
Because I'm going to talk about falling in love about 75 times this weekend, because that's just how it was, right? And then we walk in and they had two pies left. They had a very berry pie and an apple pie. And another mother knows best for my mother is get both.
Yes.
If when in doubt, get both. And you're getting a Mother Knows Best heavy episode this week, because you get a lot of my mother's wisdom when you travel with her. And if you have been traveling with her, or if you grew up in her house, which I do all three of, fortunately, have done, do verb it yourself, please. So we go in there, and Mom got like a quiche thing, and I got some juice to tide me over until dinner, because I really wanted to eat my dinner. Like, I saw the menu, I had my heart set on eating that, but I had to have something so that I didn't bite people in my group. And it was just so good. The quiche was delicious, and it did exactly what it needed to do. And then we walked across the street, and we got seated, and we got the special Oktoberfest menu, which had beer pairings for everything.
Yes, the beer was so good.
It was. We all had a little beer, and we got to see some other knitters. There were a lot of folks from India Untangled there, or who had been at India Untangled at the Dutch. And then we rolled back to the Airbnb and kind of just settled down, and then we had pie a la mode. We stopped at a grocery store on the way home so we could put ice cream on our pie. And it was so good. Would you like to talk about the pie?
And pie for breakfast.
Decadence.
Was amazing. And their cherry pie, cherry berry, was not cloyingly sweet. You could taste the flavors of the food, and it was tart and refreshing.
So good. I'll see if I can find a recipe for their pie. It might be a thing. So that was lovely. The next morning, we woke up, we got dressed, we did our thing, we drove into Rhinebeck proper and parked, and we walked up to the fairgrounds. And by the time Mom got to the gate at the fairgrounds, she was done walking. Would you like to talk about that a little bit?
Well, it was more than I managed that, but I was kind of done and exhausted, and I haven't been doing a lot of walking lately.
Obviously.
I'm supposed to do some walking, but I don't walk a whole lot, and it is very challenging to walk with a brace and a cane.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I was tired and my back was starting to hurt.
And this was as we were entering the festival, which is really discouraging. And so we were trying to figure out what to do when Kevin from the 42nd Stitch podcast, who is part of our entourage, turned to me, and he has a lot of experience dealing with mobility issues with older relatives and things like that. And he turned to me like it was nothing, and he goes, well, just see if they rent out like wheelchairs or scooters or something. And I was like, you think they'll do that? And he said, absolutely. And I turned to the nice people at the gate at Rhinebeck, and they said, oh yeah, there's a scooter rental place right there. And I said, I will be right back with a scooter. And I hustled my buns up to the scooter rental place and rented my mom what I call a rascal, but I'm sure has a different name.
It is called a rascal.
It's called a rascal?
Yeah.
It's an electric scooter.
Because that's what we turn into when we can actually get around.
Cherry red.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. There weren't choices, but if there had been, I still would have chosen cherry red. And I paid the nice people, and we got the second to last one because they'd all been pre-reserved, which I didn't even realize was a thing. But now I'm telling the listeners because now they know. And I hopped it on and I drove like a wild person down to where my mom was, and I handed off her scooter, and all of a sudden, the day picked up.
Yes.
Which was excellent. We got coffee and we started wandering and doing the peopling thing and the festival thing, and we ended up getting lunch a little on the early side so that we could sit up on the hill and enjoy our food and then do the meetup on the hill. And should we talk about food?
Yes.
All right. Go ahead, Mom. Do you remember what we ate?
You guys had coffee.
Mm-hmm.
And we had latkes.
That's Sunday.
Potato latkes. What did we do on Saturday?
We had fried Brussels sprouts.
Oh, they were so good.
With a garlic aioli.
Eh.
I will not be roasting my Brussels sprouts anymore.
And gyros,
lamb gyros.
Yes.
My only qualm about a lot of these things is that a lot of the stuff is cash only. And because of the scooter rental, my cash supply was depleted real fast.
Yeah.
So thankfully, we didn't need...
And fair food isn't cheap.
No. And there were a handful of us, and it was all like, you pay cash, I'll Venmo you later, because we are West Coast people. But it was fine. I mean, it worked out. Nobody starved. And then we got to do the meetup on the hill, which I've heard about for years and years and years, but I've never gotten to attend before. And I have mixed feelings. It was really lovely. It's very picturesque. It's green lawn, which we don't have in California. It's a novelty.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause having a brown lawn is patriotic here, because we're perpetually either in drought season or fire season. And, you know, the green grass with the beautiful different colored leaves and the cool, crisp air and the whole thing. Here's the problem. If you have any kind of mobility issues, you can't participate. Do you want to talk about what you dealt with?
Yeah, I parked my rascal on the top of the hill, but the incline was really steep, and getting around was more than challenging. And you decided we should sit down?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sorry.
Bad idea, because I couldn't get up.
You had help.
And some lady gave me a hand. Some very nice lady gave me a hand. And I hope I didn't damage her.
Mm-hmm.
Because pulling my delicate little self up...
Mm-hmm. Was not a small task.
I'm a grown woman.
Yeah, I've heard that.
So... That was not optimal.
And the people who had mobility issues were limited to either the bench at the top or staying all the way at the bottom of the hill. And really, the way it seemed to me is people would walk up and say hello and do that stuff. And if you're limited to being at the top of the hill, either people must come to you or you have to hope that you can summon. And nobody wants to be hollered at, hey, she need more. Come here. Nobody wants to be. So I was hoping that maybe in the following year, people could meet on the opposite side of the hill where it's flat and there's just as picturesque. There's a fence against that you can do. There's a lot of open space there. Plus the walkway is. But I don't organize it. I'm just suggesting it for people who are out there so more people can participate.
If I had taken the rascal to the hill, I might have capsized.
Mm-hmm.
And I started referring to it as a grassy knoll.
That's fair. We spent a lot of time socializing on Saturday, which was lovely. And we got to catch up with people we obviously haven't seen in years because it's been a pandemic and we're still in the midst of it. And it was just really nice. And then 4 o'clock hit and things got serious. They got real serious real fast. And there was a storm coming in. And my California self was like, okay, so it's a little bit of rain. And everyone was like, it's not a little bit of rain. We got to get going. And I've never seen a festival clear out so quickly and so efficiently. So cheers to all the vendors who broke down their booths outdoors and to all the festival attendees who took it seriously and hustled.
Didn't dawdle, yeah.
And so we went back and using the Around Me app, we figured out a seafood place to get dinner from, which was delicious. And they delivered because the worst part of the storm had passed by the time we decided that we wanted some food. And that was really nice. And we just had a nice, quiet evening where I passed out on the couch. This is my thing that I do. Like I go. And then as soon as I stop moving, I'm asleep.
Yeah.
So I don't know what the rest of you guys did, but I crashed out on the couch and eventually came back to bed when I woke up and realized I was on the couch under a mountain of lovely blankets. So that was good. And then Sunday morning, we got up, we packed up the Airbnb, we packed up the rental car, and we headed back in. And we were able to park a lot closer, which was great. And Mom got her rascal, and it was like...
I didn't get a rascal.
You had it both days. I picked it up and handed it off to you.
Oh, yes.
Yes. And then we got to do the whole festival and we went up to the barns and I fell in love.
Sheep, goats.
Sheep, goats, alpacas, dogs. It was all there. And it was really fun. And we got to talk to people and visit vendors that we haven't seen before or that we haven't seen in a few years. And it just was really nice. Mm-hmm. It was really nice being able to touch base with people and see half of their human faces. Something I really liked about Rhinebeck that I found was super respectful, and this might be our listeners specifically, is when they would come towards us and they saw that we were wearing masks because we have people with frail health and we have kids and we don't know who's been vaccinated and who hasn't been and things like that. It felt really kind and really respectful that people would put on their masks before they approached us. It was really, really nice and very much appreciated. So that was good. We ate more fair food. We got our cider donuts. We got, what else did we have?
Latkes.
Latkes. Those were so good. And we just had a good time. And then by the time the festival was done...
We were done too.
And we hopped in the car and dropped off the rental car. Or I dropped you off at our mm-hmm. friend's place in Manhattan. And my friend and I dropped off the rental car at JFK and took the subway back,
mm-hmm.
which was really exciting. That was on my New York checklist to take the subway. And to both of my kids' great delight, I got to see not one but two subway rats. Because that's what your kids want to hear about when you go on a trip. And it was just really lovely. And we spent the night doing New York things after we tucked you into bed. We had dinner in because Manhattan is not easy to navigate if you have limited mobility. And we didn't want to leave mom and just ditch her. So we tucked her into bed and then we went out. And it was really, really fun. And I'm going to talk about that in Knits in Space. But it was just really lovely. And then the next day we had a nice New York breakfast. And we had lunch at the Tavern on the Green in Central Park. And because the house we were staying at was walking, like, literally up the street from Central Park.
Where do we know Tavern on the Green from?
Rick Moranis' character terrorized it in the original Ghostbusters film when he was possessed by one of the two dogs. Zool was the main bad guy, and then I can't remember what the dog's... The main demon. I can't remember what the dog's names were.
Dog one and dog two.
Left dog, right dog. Okay. So it was just really good. We came home, we got back after the kids were asleep, and it's nice to be home. Obviously, I had festival hangover, but I'm happy to be home and back with my kids. So, do you have anything you'd like to add to that?
No, it was wonderful.
Excellent. All right, so that is Rhinebeck, the 2021 recap. Let's move on to the next segment. But first, a word from our sponsors. The Sandpiper Gift and Yarn Boutique and Hoof to Hanger Fiber Mill in Bridgman, Michigan. The Sandpiper offers artisan-designed gifts, local, regional, national artists, and fair trade products. The boutique also offers their cottage industry fiber mill products, yarn, roving, coarse spun, batting, knit and woven garments, accessories, home goods, and an exclusive yarn and fiber club. Explore www.thesandpiper.biz. You can find links to the Sandpiper along with everything else we talk about in this week's episode in the show notes.
For Mother Knows Best, this week we are going to talk about doing the things you want to do when you get the chance to do them. What did we do?
Well, you didn't get to because you were not as mobile as you were hoping to be. But one of the things that we got to do on Sunday night after we were done at Rhinebeck was to adventure around Manhattan and do touristy stuff and do non-touristy stuff and do some local stuff. And it was a lot of walking in the city, which is fine because I was wearing shoes that were intended to be walked in. Mm-hmm. But we took the subway and we came out at the Times Square stop. And I'm sure you can hear about that on the 42nd Stitch podcast. I haven't listened to the newest episode yet, but we were together and I'd been to Times Square. Andrew and I took two honeymoons and our first one was to New York to see shows. And I'd been to Times Square at night, so it was still amazing and beautiful and exciting and definitely buzzing at 11:30 at night. And we walked around and we kind of figured out what we wanted to do. And we ended up at a bar called Flaming Saddles, which is the gay version of Coyote Ugly. If you've seen that movie, I think it was a 1999 film, something. I remember seeing it in late high school and it was so much fun. It was so much fun, and the music was good, and there were people dancing and having a good time. And here is my favorite thing about New York City. Everywhere we went, they checked your vaccination status. If you wanted to go in, you needed to have your vaccine status and your ID. And you had to be vaccinated and have your ID. And I thought that was a really great way of keeping everyone safe and still letting people have a good time, mm-hmm. which made me feel amazing and really safe. And like I could do these things without putting myself or my family at risk. And so one of the things, the smoke machines are going, the disco balls are going, it's country western themed. And oh yes, all of the songs, I'm singing along, I'm having a good time. And then they start pouring shots of tequila in people's mouths at the bar. And I kind of was like, should I, shouldn't I?
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, for every single time I've been like, I really want to do this, but should I? Oh, I've always walked away and been like, I really should have done that. So I bellied up to the bar and I got the weakest shot of tequila poured in my mouth that I've ever had in my life. But it was still really fun. And I walked away feeling a little silly, but in the best way. And it was just nice. And we walked through Manhattan at night and just enjoyed the feeling. And we did our tourist shopping for souvenirs for the kids. Everyone got their I Love New York shirt and whatnot. And it was just... It was the thing you do when you travel and you bring back soubis for everybody, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that was, I don't regret it. I ate all the food I could stuff into myself when we were in New York because I didn't want to miss any of it. Like, everywhere we went, the food was incredible. And we didn't...
That's also what we do. We eat our way across...
the event city. Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, the last time we did something like that was, I think, when we went to Oregon Flock and Fiber. Yes. And we went from one meal to the next.
Yes.
Which was the most epic
talking,
trip.
Talking, 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 and eating.
Well, that's podcasters for you.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that is this week's Mother Knows Best. Do the things you want to do when you get the chance to do them. No regrets. All right. Let's move on to the next segment. But first, a word from our sponsors. When was the last time your knitting yarn was a work of art? Infinite Twist produces one-of-a-kind, semi-solid gradients featuring speckles, highlights, lowlights, and gorgeous color transitions. From 700-yard giant gradients to 200-yard matching sock sets, Infinite Twist gradients will hold your interest from cast-on to bind-off. See the currently available gradients at infinitetwist.com or be the first to know when new colors are posted by signing up for our newsletter at infinitetwist.com/newsletter-signup. You can find links to Infinite Twist along with everything else we've talked about in this week's episode in the show notes.
It's When Knitting Attacks!
So this week for When Knitting Attacks, we actually kind of wanted to talk about mobility and mobility issues at festivals because something that is a def... Once upon a time when I worked in technology, we had an accessibility department. And I really, really liked the folks that worked over in accessibility because we talked about long-term things. And I was thinking in terms of the podcast, how we could make it accessible long-term. And what the head of accessibility said back in those days is that everyone loses their hearing over time. That's a for sure. Not everyone loses their eyesight, but everyone's hearing diminishes over time.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was something that we've kind of been working on. But as some of you may have noticed, my accent speaks with a co-host and dictation. I know. Shocking.
Your accent speaks with a co-host. Yes.
Is that what I said?
That's what you said.
Goodness. I'm ready for my third cup of coffee.
Yes.
Whew. Jet lag is real, friends. So anyway, my accent speaks with a co-host and dictation software is not kind to that. And it's cost prohibitive to do captions for audio podcasts, though that might not be the case now. So anyway, the other thing I noticed is that mobility is also increasingly an issue, especially if you get injured when you're older. And Rhinebeck and Maryland Sheep and Wool are all outdoors. And in order to have accessible mobility options, it's kind of expensive. So the scooter rental was $55 a day. And faced with the prospect of not being able to be there without one of these mobility devices.
We didn't even think about that going.
No, because I hadn't considered it because we haven't had mobility problems in the past. But I was talking to Kevin and I was like, this is something we need to consider moving forward for you because it made your life so much easier.
It made life easier in the way that I wasn't feeling like I was holding anybody back.
Yeah, for sure.
And I would have felt really bad.
Well, not that, but we would have felt bad if you hadn't been able to have fun. So the good feelings are all around when there is mobility and access. And I just think that should be more part of the focus of event is making sure that everyone can attend and it's not hard. Because the directionality of the barns, which I understand is one of the COVID protocol things, because I don't remember that being a thing last time. I remember people being packed in those barns, but also attendance was lower because of COVID and things like that. But it was just something that I noticed that felt kind of yucky. The other thing that I wanted...
What felt yucky?
That it was so expensive just for you to get around. And I'm not saying I wouldn't pay for it, but if you've got your Rhinebeck budget and it's in place and then you get there and you realize that it's hilly and not walkable and it was cash only, which was the other thing where I was like, $110 in cash? Like, what am I, a walking ATM?
That'll wipe people's cash reserves out.
Yes, but also I had on a whim asked Andrew to pick up cash because I was like, I'm sure everyone will take cards and things. Nope. You still need cash in this time of COVID. Cash is still king. So that was one. The other thing that I noticed was a big difference between India Untangled and Rhinebeck is that no vaccination status was asked for. And while it is an outdoor event, a lot of people were walking up to us to talk. And while people who walked up to us were pretty respectful about wearing masks when they came up to us or putting their masks on, mm-hmm. I would have liked to have had people who were vaccinated have like one color of wristband and having people who are unvaccinated have a different color of wristband so that you know when you're sharing space with people, if you are in a space full of unvaccinated people or if you're in a space full of vaccinated people. And like the way you would make that differentiation is if you show your vaccine status at the door, you get one and you get the other if you don't show your vaccine status. So you don't show your vaccine status, we'll assume you're unvaccinated. And that way people can make reasonable safety decisions with all the information that they need at hand.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
Because I'm looking at how things were done when we were in Manhattan and here in San Jose. Because when we went to go see West Side Story, you were required to be vaccinated and fully and masked the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And they checked your vaccine status at the door. And the restaurants we went to in Manhattan required us to show our vaccination status and things like that. So it's just one of those things where in the midst of a pandemic, I prefer to lean to err on the side of safety rather than trusting people, because obviously if we could trust people, everyone would have been masked and this would have been over, right?
Yeah.
So that said, and I talk about this because Stitches West announced that they're going to have people that you have to show that you're vaccinated if you want to attend, I think.
Yes. It's vaccines are mandatory.
Yeah. And we'll link to that in the show notes. And here's the thing is I really appreciate that because a lot of the yarn and fiber community is delicate and a lot of us have immune issues or underlying health problems or kids that are too young to be vaccinated.
What is the age demographic?
Older.
Yeah.
Like theoretically, except for the kids who get dragged along by their parents.
My age group.
Everyone is, no, it's not necessarily your age group. I actually don't have the demographics for Stitches at hand, but everyone is old enough to be vaccinated who attends, for the most part.
Last year, Dr. Gemma was looking up and down the aisles.
Mm-hmm. Not last year, 2 years ago.
2 years ago, and looking at how many people with walkers and canes.
Mm-hmm.
And it was leaning towards the older demographic.
Depends on what day you're looking at too and which event venue it's at and all those things. And what I'm saying is I don't want to share demographic information that's inaccurate.
Okay.
What I am saying is that COVID is not good for anyone to get,
mm-hmm.
as we've learned over the last couple of years. And I really appreciate that XRX as a company is taking the steps to make sure that the attendees are as safe as we can be.
Yes.
Especially because it's an indoor event, But yeah, I just wanted to point out that difference, and hopefully this will be something that is long in the past, but maybe for Maryland Sheep and Wool, they can do something like this because it's not likely to be over by May, but we'll see. So that's this week's When Knitting Attacks, accessibility and vaccine safety things. All right. That's it.
That's it.
Let's move on to the next segment. But first, a word from our sponsors. Have you ever had to frog because you forgot a step several rows back or lost your spot because you dropped your magnet board or lost track with your highlighter tape? Instead of wrestling with paper, use the Knit Companion app. It keeps you on track so you can knit more and frog less. Knit Companion works with all of your patterns and is available for Apple, Android, and Kindle Fire devices. You can find links to Knit Companion along with everything else we've talked about in this week's episode in the show notes. This week for Knits in Space, what is bringing us joy this week in this pandemic? All things Halloween-y. Orange eye makeup, Hocus Pocus introducing the kids to more scary movies that they might or may not be old enough for that might scar them for life? Possibly. We're debating showing the kids the original Ghostbusters film because it's one of our favorites, and I think it's cheesy now. I think it might not be scary anymore. What do you think? Mom is making us a serious thinking face.
If it scares them, we can always stop.
That's true. I've been indulging in the scary movies that were scary when I was a kid, but don't seem scary now.
Good.
Which is great. I watch some Friday the 13th movies, or not, I watched Nightmare on Elm Street is the one I watched. And I watched a couple of those and I couldn't figure out if they were supposed to be scary or not. I was like, okay, well, this is terrible and gory, but not terrifying. Don't, children, don't watch these movies. They might scare you, but I'm old and I've had children, so it takes a lot to scare me. But it's just really fun and I'm really getting into it and the fall weather is hitting and I got to do the fall things on the East Coast and now we're here and I'm getting my house ready for Halloween and it sounds like the kids will be able to trick or treat this year because the kids are wearing masks anyway, so I'm really hoping that we get to enjoy it like that. I'm thinking about making some soup. We didn't get any lamb and barley stew at the festival because I didn't see the booth because I was so overwhelmed by all of the goodness. So I'm hoping to make some lamb and barley stew this week.
That sounds lovely.
With some nice crusty bread.
Oh, excellent.
Thank you. I thought so too. Everyone at home was in the mood for soup this week and not just because we had colds.
Crockpot would be good.
We'll see. I'm going to follow whatever the recipe says.
Okay.
So that is something I'm really enjoying. I've been watching anything spooky that I can get my fingers on the various platforms. There's a new show on Acorn TV that has Martin Clune in it from Doc Martin. It's he's a BBC actor, obviously. It's Acorn TV that I saw a preview for on the airplane on the way out. And I was like, oh, I should watch that. So I'm really kind of getting the fall feels. Is there anything you're really excited about? About Halloween or fall or whatever?
Shuffling through leaves and having leaves crunch under my feet.
Marvelous.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That's it for me for this week for Knits in Space. Do you want to add anything?
Nope.
All right. In that case, let's move on to the next segment. But first, a quick word from our sponsors. Are you feeling disgruntled about your stash? Are you browsing Insta ham looking for knitting inspiration? Is color kind of a pig deal in your life? Oink Pigments offers over 140 pig to perfect colorways to make you squeal with delight. For a limited time only, bring home the bacon with code KNITMORE and get 15% off in-stock yarns and fibers at oinkpigments.com. Shop soon because these pigs will fly. You can find links to Oink Pigments along with everything else we've talked about in this week's episode in the show notes.
So I am taking trouser drafting at Kanyada College, and we have two sessions left. And I had drafted a jeans pattern and sewed the muslin, and the teacher approved. And I also said that this may be the pattern for my dress pants because they're not that tight to be jeans. Also, I don't want to wear jeans. I don't want to sew jeans myself right now.
That makes sense.
So the assignment was to draw stuff that jeans need. Yoke, fly, shield, pocket lining, and jeans front. So I handed that in before we went. And then I came back and watched the recording of the class I missed.
While you were on the plane?
Yesterday, yes. And the assignment for this was to draft pants that have some change to the leg. And I'm thinking pedal pushers, like the pants the girls wore in Bye Bye Birdie. And I've done the front of the pants, and I need to work on the back. And you use the master pattern that you got fitted, and then the changes from the muslin were put on the pattern.
The copied pattern.
And then you have a clean master pattern. And I use the clean master pattern to do new patterns. So I put examination room paper over the master pattern and then copy it and change the parts that I want changed. I didn't want to make bootcut jeans.
What about wide leg jeans? Wide leg, high waist, vintage style looking jeans. We can do that modification for me.
We could. Yes. And so And after these two sessions, then the next class is trouser construction, where we take the patterns we made and actually sew them into pants.
Marvelous.
Yes.
I'm excited.
Yes.
I can't wait to see your hot pants.
And
hot pants, not hot pants.
And I'm hoping to use some of the mood fabric from the surprise box to sew pants. I have to see if that works.
I'll have to see if there's a special hashtag for that too, that mood uses.
Oh, yes. Okay, and that's that.
It sounds like we've come to the end of our row. This week we'd like to thank Erin Lane Bags, Infinite Twist, Knit Companion, Lisa Souza Dye Works, Oink Pigments, The Sandpiper, our supporters, but most importantly, you, our listeners. Absolutely everything, and I mean everything we've talked about in this week's episode, can be found at the show notes, which are located at knitmoregirlspodcast.com. You can send any comments, questions, or feedback to me, Jasmine, J-A-S-M-I-N, at knitmoregirlspodcast.com.
Or me, Gigi, G-I-G-I, at knitmoregirlspodcast.com.
You can find us on Pandora Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Amazon Play, pretty much everywhere you can find podcasts or your podcatcher. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and Tumblr as Knitmore Girls. This is Jasmine.
And Gigi.
Telling you to knit more.